We've got another guest on the phone with us right now, Christine Zust, who has written the book Everything I Do Positions Me, The Simple Path to Professional Success. I just want to call Christine the Communication Queen. Can I do that?
Absolutely, you can.
That's a title I saw on one of your websites, with you wearing a crown. Why do you consider yourself a communication queen?
Well, because all of my professional studies have been in communication. My undergraduate degree was in public relations. My master's degree was in interpersonal communication. So I figured after 30-plus years in the workplace, I have earned the right to call myself the communication queen.
Now, the book that you have here is, I guess, for whom? Whom is this book for?
Well, as I say in my introduction, and I don't mean this in a boastful way, I say everyone on the planet could use this information that I've shared in my book. But the people that I've really written the book for are young professionals who are just coming into the marketplace, that they may not even know what it means to be professional, and also to people who could be in their mid-career where they find themselves stuck. They may not understand why they can't advance further in their careers. And also for people who are returning to the workplace, who may have been off, taking a hiatus for a while, and they're just coming back into the workplace, they need a little refresher.
Christine, you make many, many recommendations in your book. One of them is to getting involved, going to the knowledge bank. What do you mean by that?
Well, when I think about knowledge, it's something that it's free to us. I mean, we can go anywhere and obtain as much knowledge as we want to. And of course, we can also go to college or gain special certifications or designations in our careers. But when I think about the knowledge bank, I tell people, imagine as if you were going to a bank and you were making those withdrawals of knowledge. Fortunately, there's no one at the other end. There's no teller that says, I'm sorry, you can't have any more knowledge. And that's the beauty of the knowledge bank, is that it's never ending and it's always available to us.
The book, I guess, can help us as you talk about being professional. Is there a lack of professionalism? Do you see that for people looking for careers, changing careers, getting into other jobs? How do they apply that that adjective kind of to what they want and how to succeed with that?
Yes, I see so much lack of professionalism, which was part of my desire to write this book, really came from my experiences over the years of people who I had met who were in positions of power, yet they lacked professionalism. And when I think about professionals, they're people who really exhibit all of the goodness of being a professional, people who know how to treat you with respect, who have credibility, who are trustworthy, honest, very diplomatic. I mean, the list goes on and on of all of the characteristics of someone who is professional. And I was so surprised to find that there were people who lacked a lot of this professionalism that I decided it's time for me to put my experience into a book. I also provide training to companies who want me to come in and train their staff and also provide one-on-one coaching to people on how to be more professional. Yes, there is absolutely a lack of professionalism in the world today.
The book that you put together, Everything I Do Positions Me, is kind of there's a little bit of a workbook attitude toward it. What kind of things can people get out of it as if they follow some of the steps and kind of take part of the exercises?
Well, I designed it as a workbook because I felt that this is the kind of book that people could use as a resource or a reference throughout their careers. There are more than 150 questions at the end of each section. I've asked people thought-provoking questions that get them thinking about that particular topic, that they can come back to this book at any time in their lives. And also for people who are managers or supervisors, it's a great book if you're coaching or mentoring other people, people who you work closely with, who you're trying to help up their ladder of career success. you can use it in that way as well.
Many things in this book I've looked at and I thought, I've heard this been said before. In other words, maybe somebody had told this to me, a coworker, a mentor, as you were, you know, through my career, and I'm thinking, maybe I have forgotten this. And this is kind of a reacquainting to some of those things. And I'm looking at a section. Craig and I are all about communicating with the spoken word, because we're in radio, and Craig writes news, and so he's in. And you have a whole section about verbal communication, the power of language.
Mm-hmm.
And it fascinates me because, Craig, listen to this. This is talking about using weak words and powerful words. And that's right up your alley, Craig, when you do news and things like that. And the weak one, and I thought to myself, you know, I've spoken this way before in certain meetings where the weak sentence would be, I think what we should probably do is possibly launch the program in the fall. I guess because maybe we're overlooking the fact that everyone is kind of on vacation in the summer. Not to me. You kind of chuckle at that, and you write it so beautifully that everyone's probably going, I've said that, or I've heard those meetings or those types of things, as opposed to saying something like, let's launch the program in the fall since most people are on vacation in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so difficult for us to be so direct like that?
It's so funny that you should mention that, because I've had a number of people in my workshop say the same thing to me, that when I come up with this topic of passive language versus powerful language, you can hear the moans and groans where people sit there and they say, oh, that's me. I'm guilty of doing that. And what happens is that people don't understand that they could be sabotaging their own success. That if I want to have complete confidence in you, let's say if you work for me and we're sitting at a meeting together and you use weak language like that, how much confidence am I going to have in you? Not much. I think I can probably have that report you on your desk by Friday, maybe, possibly, I guess. That's not very convincing. I want someone who can say, I will have that report on your desk by 5 o'clock p.m. That person I have confidence in.
Yeah, but now I just committed to getting that to you at 5 o'clock on Friday.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, I've held myself accountable.
That's a whole nother topic. I hear that from managers everywhere in the workplace, that people just aren't accountable today. They're trying to brush it off on someone else, and that's what direct, powerful language does, is you are making that commitment.
Christine, in your book, you also recommend resources that people can tap into. You recommend a list of books, some movies as well, must-have comedy DVDs and CDs, and you even include Rodney Dangerfield. Why Rodney Dangerfield?
Well, that's on my section on having the importance of having a positive attitude. I don't know about you, but for me, one of the greatest ways that I can enhance my positive attitude is to just sit back, relax, and watch comedy. Laughter just helps us be healthy. It helps us to have a powerful, positive attitude. And Rodney Dangerfield, I mean, he was the inventor of the one-liner, really. He mastered the one-liner. More contemporary comedians, and I have them listed in my book as well, that there are so many tremendous resources out there on the internet and within bookstores where we can find this comic relief that we need so much.
I was looking in that positive attitude section. In fact, that's one that I bookmarked in here. You talk about beginning and ending every day in a positive way. What are some suggestions and ways to do that, and why is that important?
It's so important when you wake up first thing in the morning. Most of us are ready to just hit the ground running. Just take a moment and breathe. Just inhale a nice, deep, relaxing breath and exhale and welcome the day. But take a moment to be grateful for the day that you're about to go into. With my husband and me, we start every day out, first of all, by greeting each other in the morning and telling each other, isn't it a great day? We have two cats. So we spend a few moments with our cats every morning. Anything that's going to put you in a positive state. Some people do morning yoga stretches or meditation or prayer is a great way to start the day. Even play your favorite song on the radio and then do the same thing at the end of the day. At the end of the day, just clear your mind of everything that happened, put it behind you, get ready to have a nice restful sleep for the evening. When I was much younger, I didn't do that. I would sit there and the wheels would be turning and I'd be thinking about all the things I had to do at work the next day. Just relax and tell your body, tell your mind, I'm ready to go to sleep now. I'm ready to let the day go and get ready for a new day tomorrow. And you'll be amazed at how much impact that has on how you face your day and how you end it and how it prepares you for the next day.
We're talking with Christine Zust, Everything I Do Positions Me, an essential book for your professional success. Relating to that positive attitude, Craig, there's this page in here where she has little things you can do to add beauty and balance to your life every day. And right smack in the middle of it is watch the clouds. Now, Craig is in the studio here, and he can look out the window all the time. And I find him many times during the morning watching clouds, pointing things out to me. So, Craig, you are halfway there in starting your day with
I've got a head start.
A positive attitude.
I'm glad he's doing that. It's just a great pastime. Clouds are there. Well, this summer, though, we had a beautiful summer with many cloudless days,
yes,
which was wonderful.
Well,
most days the clouds are up there for us.
Some of those mornings when I have to take the pets out because they want to get out in the middle of the night, even though I hate doing that and they have to go out, there's moments where I suddenly have a breathtaking appearance of the sky. The stars, the moon's doing quite well these days in like a little crescent shape, and there's planets out there. So I guess if you take some of those moments, it can add a little positive attitude towards you. Would this book have been written differently if you didn't have to deal with the internet and emails and all those type of things? I mean, that to me has added a whole new different way of communicating that has its own inherent problems.
No, as a matter of fact, there are sections in my communication section. I tell people how to communicate effectively in all of the communication channels, and electronic communication is one choice that we have. As far as I'm concerned, the face-to-face, what I call the old-fashioned way of communicating, people often ask me, will that ever go out of style? And I say no, absolutely not, because it's the most intimate way that we communicate with each other. And I believe it's going to really have a rebound in our culture, that more people are going to invest more time being with people face-to-face. It's very powerful.
Does that come around to that everything old is new again? So children who grow up using, you know, all sorts of electronic devices, at some point someone will say, hey, did you know you can actually touch somebody and look at them and have a process that's has more than just words, and you won't be misconstrued, or at least it doesn't seem that way, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely. And I even talk to people who say, within my company, we have a three-time rule, that if we have exchanged three emails back and forth, pick up the phone. That's the rule for a lot of people and I'm encouraging people to do that as well, because then when you use electronic media as a crutch, because you don't want to pick up that phone, that's when it becomes a real time waster.
What do you do with a coworker who sits next to you in a desk and he could probably reach over and poke you, but sends you emails in the middle of that, and you're thinking, why didn't you just turn to me and say something?
Now stop sharing my secret.
I'm not sharing secrets. I'm trying to get counsel, that's all.
Well, it does sound like the two of you get along very well.
We try to. I find myself sending emails to people and then racing to their desk as it gets there to explain what I typed to them, because everything I was thinking can't really fit descriptively enough in an email.
Well, or your other option, of course, would be do something really creative, like write your message and fold it into a paper airplane and just toss it over on his desk and see what happens.
Okay. I'll be ready for that.
I
now.
Was wearing a Band-Aid a while back, and there was a reason for that. He picks up the mail for me and just kind of thinks it's airmail half the time. But we try to get along as best we can and work through issues. And I suppose, as you probably have in this book as well, humor, and we talked a little bit about one-liners and sort of positive attitude, but I think humor in any professional situation, they're not mutually exclusive, are they?
No, definitely not. And the people who I have had the greatest pleasure of working with are bosses, supervisors, clients who I've had over the years who take that humorous approach, that they don't take themselves too seriously. Now, I'm not talking about the person who stands at the water cooler and tells you their favorite joke. That's a different topic altogether. I'm talking about someone who knows how to look at things in a very lighthearted way and to find the humor, find that funny in everything that we do.
you have a better bonding, I think, with your coworkers in those situations.
You do, absolutely. And it shows that you're human. We're all human. There's nothing more revealing than self-deprecating humor. And when you can laugh at yourself, it just makes all the difference in the world. People think, wow, this is a real person. It's not just someone who's phony or artificial. It's someone who really enjoys connecting with other people.
The book is called Everything I Do Positions Me, and The Simple Path to Professional Success. It's a book that'll help you succeed professionally for those people who are maybe looking to change their careers, update what's going on, just reconnect. Maybe sometimes you get stagnant in a certain position, and this is a good way to kind of reevaluate things and also give you some of that incentive to go out there and shake hands, meet people, and grow as a person as well as in your career. Christine Zust, if people want to find out more about you and what you do in this book, how's the best way to do that?
Well, they can visit the website that's dedicated to this book, everythingidopositionsme.com, or my general corporate website, which is zustco.com.
Well, that sounds great, and we appreciate your time this morning and all the insights you bring to us.
Thank you so much, Bruce and Craig. Enjoy this beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.